Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Crystal Traveler, Book 1 of the Crystal Message Chronicles by Brighton Daw and Kathleen Daw, is a love story stretching across time. Crystal Traveler takes the reader from the present day to the last days of Atlantis, then forward again through myth and history. Crystal Traveler engages the reader in the epic story of the final days of Atlantis with uncanny parallels and lessons for today's world. It was more than love at first sight. It was soul recognition that drew Kathleen and Brighton together. From their first encounter, past life visions, memories, channeled conversations have come forth between them. This growing library of information compelled them to write and share their story. Kathleen is an author, teacher, counselor, certified hypnotherapist, alternative health practitioner for Stone Circle Alternative, and experience workshop presenter. Her gifts include being a Reiki master, psychic, medical intuitive, walked a spiritual path for more than 35 years, sharing her unique perspective that blends both ancient and modern healing techniques, wisdom, concepts, a librarian, and superb storyteller, as you'll find as you're reading the book. Brighton is a Reiki master, energy worker, tarot reader, a writer, teacher, alternative health practitioner for Stone Circle Alternatives, an experienced workshop presenter in both the professional engineering and spiritual shamanic venues. He uses his engineering and computer background, integrated with his spiritual understanding, as a foundation to bring the metaphysical into the real world. Together, Kathleen and Brighton bring their special kind of magic to audiences when they jointly present their workshops. That same magic in The Crystal Traveler, Book 1 of the Crystal Message Chronicles. Brighton and Kathleen Daw joining us on This Week in America. I had to take a few minutes with that because you've got such an impressive background, and it gives us all such insight to what you're doing in this book series. Welcome both of you to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Yes, thank you, Rick. We're glad to be here.
This is going to be such a pleasure, and the time will go by quickly, so let's get right to it. I love what you've done with Crystal Traveler. What was the inspiration for writing this?
Well, when I had dreams and visions as a child of levitating these huge stones to create a massive bridge that arced across this huge canal. And, you know, those came and went, but they kind of kept recurring. Then when I got together with Kathy later in life and we got married, we realized that the visions that I had had, not just the one about the bridge, but many others, were some of the very same ones that she also had had. And when we began to compare notes, when we realized that this had happened, it created such a detailed tapestry of this place and this time that I felt compelled to write this book and actually begin to put down some of what we felt and had seen.
Kathleen, the more we put our stories together, the more it just came pouring out.
Yes, indeed. Yes. I was going to say, it almost seemed like this book had to write itself. When you started comparing stories, it's like we have to share these stories with everybody.
That's exactly right.
You know, and what's interesting here, and we'll talk about this, is past life visions and dreams of Atlantis, yours, your past life visions and dreams. How did this add to the story? Because this is not just sort of supposition on your part, what you think happened. You have visions of this. Talk about the importance of that.
It was huge, and it created a basis so that when we actually began to research that time period, and we researched quite a bit from sources that were other channels, like Edgar Cayce, historical as they were, you know, mythology, you know, Plato's work, all of that, those pieces that agreed with the feelings that we had had and the visions that we had had, I could then say, this adds even more texture to what we're writing, and I can begin to trust those sources.
And we put together a coherent story with these random visions as a template. Yeah, to string them together.
As a novel. I mean, we're not saying this was exactly what happened by any means.
Right.
We're just saying that gave us the basis to create this very compelling and exciting novel, and where we actually put other characters in, some of whom are ones that we think we may have known, and others we just made up out of, you know, an author's imagination.
Well, it's fascinating. And as a reader, you can go through and figure, is this someone, do you think they actually knew, or someone they put in there? Because this is a novel. The book is Crystal Traveler, Book One of the Crystal Message Chronicles, with us Brighton Daw and Kathleen Daw, the authors. Kathleen, how was it writing this book? So maybe some of the challenges of co-writing and some of the pleasures of co-writing as well.
It's such a pleasure to write with Brighton. But like two people who saw the same accident, we had different perspectives because of the roles that we lived in Atlantis, or believe we lived in Atlantis. And so sometimes our stories were about an event that happened, but our perspectives were really quite different. And that's also been funny, because I've always had a thing about giants, and giants had to be in my story.
Said, and no way,
no giants.
So I'm a researcher, and I love to just spend hours delving into a subject matter. And then I just feel like the story comes together. It tells itself to me.
And so, you know, like with the case of the giants, I was saying, no, no, no. And then she researched a bunch of stuff and said, see. And I went, okay, we can have giants.
So there could be disagreement, but then you work it out between the two of you and go forward. And Brighton, in your case, it's like you bent on this one. Maybe you learned something in the process, didn't you?
Absolutely. In fact, I'd say one of the joys of writing this book was that we learned something about ourselves in the process. Additional details would come forward, or memories, or I would dream about it that night. And it's like, oh my goodness, that's why we did what we did. I hadn't realized it until I actually got to the point of writing it in the book.
I also see parts of our personalities that are reflected in the now. And sometimes I can have more compassion when I realize it has a root in the far past, and that this is just the way it's showing up now. I see that all the time in my hypnotherapy business. And so it certainly is playing out through this story for us.
It's interesting, besides a compelling story that you tell, you learn something about yourself and each other in the process of writing Crystal Traveler, Book One of the Crystal Message Chronicles of Brighton Daw, Kathleen Daw, the co-authors, our guest on the program. Book, by the way, is available at all of the Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand, and a lot more. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on to all of the sources for the book. So there's no reason not to buy one. It's available all across the world and in all the places where you can find books. Let's talk about the main characters. How did you come up with them, and what's the inspiration? You mentioned maybe some of these are people you actually remember from this period.
There are. Our two main characters are based on ourselves, of course, although I changed them a bit, because the person that I was in Atlantis had an ego, you know, the size of the Empire State Building. It's appalling to me seeing that person in that lifetime and how he behaved. So my character doesn't have that ego in the book. I transferred it to one of the other characters in the book, who's one of the bad guys, right? So
okay.
I was, you know, that's sort of how some of that evolved. And then some of the other characters are actually based on mythology. My belief is that some of the people that escaped from Atlantis became people in mythology that we've come to know. And so this was sort of their roots, if you will. So knowing these characters in mythology, I could say, what are the personality traits of this person before they became the god such and so, you know, at some point in the future? I was able to take their personality traits and apply it to some of the characters in our book. They aren't necessarily given the same names, and so it's up to the reader to try and see if they can identify who these characters might become in our later books.
Though you'll see that in the subsequent books.
You will in the following books.
Well, yes, I mentioned this is book one of the series. Talk about the subsequent books. How many do you see in this series?
I see four. Kathy sees three. But okay. Every time we write, it always comes out bigger than I thought it would, which is why book one is as huge as it is. But I think it's going to be four books. And it progresses through time from the point where Atlantis ends and the Great Flood occurs through the deluge after and the problems, and then shows up again in the 1600s. It's all following the messages of a crystal that are sent out of Atlantis and destined to be in our time. And the final book ends back in our time with that crystal and the message in it being revealed. And it's quite an exciting chase all the way through time.
The book is available at the usual places, as I mentioned, pageturner.us in the bookstore. You'll find it there. Link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I'll ask each of you, I'm not sure if you share a favorite scene that you like in Crystal Traveler, or you each have your favorites. You're both looking at each other and smiling. I think we may have differing opinions here. What, I'll start with you, Brighton. What was your favorite scene? Do you have a favorite scene?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We both have, but they're different. My favorite scene occurs in the underwater city that they visit later, towards the end of the book, where we meet some of these characters out of mythology. And there's a couple of scenes in there that I really enjoy. One where he gets to interact with some mermaids in a very sensual manner, which is kind of a fun scene. And another one where he meets the head of that city, who we know of as Poseidon. And Poseidon gives this talk about what does it mean to be a person of destiny or a god. And his whole monologue there was just, I almost cried at the end of it. It's like, where did that come from? It's just incredible. So that's my favorites.
Kathleen, how about yours?
My favorite is when the pair goes to Scotland and is planting a crystal for future use to sense earthquakes, and the Pleiadians make an appearance and change the story a bit. That's my favorite part.
Interesting. It's all in Crystal Traveler Book 1 of the Crystal Message Chronicles. Let's talk a little bit. You mentioned the sequel. Do you know where the story is going? Brighton, you're saying, I think I got four books that I can come up with stories. Kathleen saying, no, I think three could do it. But do you know where the story is going to go? And do you plant little clues in book one that will come back and we'll go, okay, yeah, I remember that. And that maybe in book three, where we're finding out that story continues.
Absolutely. We're kind of tickled. We were very impressed with different authors, J.K. Rowling in particular, who was able to plant seeds in the first two books that carried it through the entire series. And we thought that was really genius. And so we have really tried to be similar in that.
We have all four books pretty much outlined out, so we know exactly where we're going with it. And that allowed us to stretch the arch of the story across all four books and indeed plant seeds in the first book that are not going to come to fruition until the fourth book or one of the others, that you go, oh, so each of the books we trust will stand on its own. But if you read them all, just like, you know, Harry Potter, you're going to find the seeds of what's to come already present in this first book.
What are some of the highlights of writing this book, this series? And I'm thinking as we're talking, you've got this great story to tell. That has to be a highlight. You've got things you find out about yourself and each other, the history, the research that you put into this. What are some of the highlights of writing this series?
I think one of them for me was that we decided to do this as a work of fiction. We didn't want to have to prove any of our timelines or anything that it really happened. And it's been fun because I wanted to stay true to my sense of timeline of when this all took place. And when we first were writing the book, the timelines of maybe modern science and archaeology had dates that were much younger than the dates that we were using. And in the course of writing it, I feel that archaeology has caught up with us and our story is now very pertinent. And the timelines are really perfectly laid out, just like I knew they would be.
Brighton, highlights for you. What when you look back on this process, look back and you're still going through the process, what are some of the highlights, the enjoyment that you get in this series?
It's in the finding new information that I didn't expect, even though I had it outlined. There was a scene where they smuggled some stuff out of Atlantis in a certain way, and I had visions of that. But when I actually wrote it, I suddenly understand why they did it the way they did. It suddenly made sense, and that was kind of illuminating. I think the other really joy that I got out of it was interacting with the characters that are in the story. When I outline it, it's all done from my logical mind, right? It's done from a basis of logic. But when you're actually writing the words, suddenly the emotions of the characters take over. And so it's like I'm in the fifth chapter and he's falling in love. But in my outline, that didn't happen for another, you know, five chapters. It's like, what? Wait a minute. You're not supposed to do this now. And so the emotion of the character, though, had to guide it because we're emotional beings. And had I followed the logical course of the outline, it wouldn't have been nearly as good a story as what the emotion of the character carried in that moment of the story. And so that was a joy to actually find out that my characters were changing the plot a bit.
Well, that's fascinating. Going in, you've got some. Well, yeah, that's interesting. An even better story. So as you're going, the character saying, "You know, Brighton, that's good, but I can be better than that. I've got some ideas myself." It's almost like you've created monsters with these people. They take over.
The one case where it really did change the whole way the story was going to unfold. It's like, no, I have to keep it this way. This is so much better than what I had intended. And then I had to go back and change the outline for the rest of the book to allow for that to happen. There's a couple places, like the end of the book, when I first wrote the first one, I actually had it outlined with three different potential endings and was going to allow it to flow depending on what the characters actually did towards the end of the book. And that was smart because...
It did change.
But use pencil. I think that's the key to this as you're outlining this. A couple minutes left in the program. It's gone by so quickly. Kathleen, what do you hope the people will get out of your books? I know there's more. It's a great story, but there's some substance to this too, isn't there?
There is. And both Brighton and I teach metaphysics. And so there are some magical truths from how to program crystals right on down that are core. But I think that for me, what I hope readers get out of this is we're not the only people with past stories that impact their lives today. And I hope that they're inspired through our story to believe that they have their own stories and their own soul's missions across time.
Mm-hmm. And Brighton, from your standpoint, what do you hope readers get besides enjoyment just in reading a great story? What do you hope they take away from reading the book?
I hope that they take away a bigger picture of the universe than what they might have started with. Yes. It's in science fiction, which I'm a big fan of and have, you know, avid reader for decades. Part of the reason I enjoyed that was that it gave me a bigger picture of what was possible, a bigger picture of the universe, a bigger picture of what might be able to be done in the future. Star Trek is certainly an example of that, you know, with communicators. I mean, now we got cell phones. Oh, my goodness. Tricorders, that's on our cell phone, too. So our book, I think, presents a lot of potential for widening one's view of the world. And that's really what I hope people get out of it.
I'll go back to finish up by what I said in the beginning, the epic story of the final days of Atlantis with uncanny parallels and lessons for today's world. What parallels can the readers draw between the world today and the Atlantis of your story?
Well, in the Atlantis of our story, they had what we would consider an extremely clean energy source, done through crystals and resonance. Unfortunately, they overused it, and they overused it to the point where it actually destroyed their entire civilization, and that's totally explained in the book. And that's very similar to the lessons that we're trying to deal with today with the oil industry and overdoing, you know, something that would have been good on a small scale, but on a large scale is killing the planet. And so there's a lot of parallels like that of this similar situations of haves and haves not. Who's worthy to be, you know, participate in the world or participate in the running of things? Atlantis was very compartmentalized and had a lot of us versus them attitudes going on. And we have a lot of that same issues today.
And entitlement.
Entitlement, yes.
There was a great feeling of entitlement. And we see that today, too.
So, Kathleen, as we're reading this, we'll see some parallels for today. You can't help but read this and maybe stop after a couple of paragraphs and go, wait a minute, this is Atlantis. This isn't society in, you know, 2020, but it could be, couldn't it, in some cases?
Yes.
Yes, it could.
Our hero in the story is Terrell, and he's constantly making those comparisons and saying, oh my gosh, I see this is happening in the future. And you see the roots are very deep.
The book is Crystal Traveler, Book One of the Crystal Message Chronicles by Brighton Daw and Kathleen Daw. Brighton is Brighton. Of course, Kathleen Daw, Dawe. I say that because everybody's Googling to try to remember. Crystal Traveler, you'll get there from here by using that. Page Turner is a great place to go to find the book. The book available, besides Page Turner, at all the Amazon sites, at Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand, and a lot of other places, basically wherever books are sold. Kathleen Brighton, it's been a pleasure having both of you on the program. Looking forward to catching up with books number 2, 3, maybe number 4 with Brighton. Maybe Kathleen will be back for number 4 if she's a co-author of that as well. But this has been so much fun. Thank both of you so much for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. So just one more thing I wanted to say is look for the Page Turner edition. There's 2 editions of the book out, but you want the second edition, which came from Page Turner. It's got more in it, and it's cleaner. It's a better version.
And that's very simple. In fact, that's the main website we'll have on our website if you're looking for it that way, pageturner.us. You'll find it in the bookstore. The book is Crystal Traveler, Book 1 of the Crystal Message Chronicles by Brighton Daw and Kathleen Daw. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.